Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. We are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And this means understanding the Old Testament and the New Testament, because the Apostle Paul wrote that all the things that are in the Old Testament are for our learning and examples that we don't do as they did. And also that the Holy Writings through Christ are able to bring us to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So there are many things that we can learn. One of the most important things we need to learn is, what is the truth about the seventh-day Sabbath? Why is that so important to God? And why should that be so important to us? And we have seen that no man can change it. No man can tell God what to do. No man can judge God and say, God, I don't like what you're doing. And we saw how that the Sabbath is a blessing. Now let's look at something else here in the book of Exodus, chapter 31, that tells us about the Sabbath day and gives us more information as to why we need to keep it today. Now, Exodus 31, and let's understand something about the writings of Moses. These are the sayings of God. This is not the law which Moses devised to give to the children of Israel. These are the laws and commandments of God that he gave to Moses, who then in turn gave them to the children of Israel. And you'll find this everywhere. Verse 12, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, every place it is the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, these are the words of God. These are the commands of God conveyed to the children of Israel by Moses. Now, when he gave this, he was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, received all the instructions to make the tabernacle, received all the instructions concerning the judgments and statutes of God, and received the tablets of stone written by the finger of God. This was a tremendous moment in the history of mankind. And Israel, in turn, as we have seen, was to take the word of God and bring it to all the nations of the world so they would have the word of God. And that's how God determined that he was going to bring things to the world, through the 12 tribes of Israel. So this becomes very important. Now, verse 13, Exodus 31. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, truly you shall keep my Sabbaths. Notice, plural. Now we will see later on that there are also annual holy days, which are called Sabbaths as well, which we should likewise be keeping. And these stand more of the plan of God and the purpose of God. So we'll get to those in some other video cast later. Truly you shall keep my Sabbath, for it, Sabbath keeping, is a sign between me and you. It's a sign that you belong to God. Isn't that interesting? Do you belong to God? Notice what else it says here. A sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Do you feel you're sanctified by God? Do you feel that your Sunday-keeping church gives you sanctification in God? Do you feel that sanctification from God through Christ comes separately from the Sabbath day? Why is the Sabbath day so important then? Is not the Sabbath day a foundation then for our relationship with God spiritually through Jesus Christ? Of course it is. As we're going to see later, the apostles kept the Sabbath, Jesus kept the Sabbath, Paul kept the Sabbath, and as we will see, taught Gentiles to keep the Sabbath and admonished them to continue in the grace of God. Whoa, what a revelation that is to some people, huh? Have you ever heard that from a Sunday-keeping pulpit where you may attend? All right, let's read on. Verse 15, 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on that day shall surely be put to death. Now, that was under the covenant with Israel. But really, what did Jesus say for those who were deceived and blinded by their own tradition and their own religion? Jesus said, they're the blind leaders leading the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. And what else did he say when a man who was well-intended, he came to Jesus and said, oh, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. Only let me go bury my father. What did Jesus say? Let the dead bury the dead. So if you don't keep the Sabbath and have the Spirit of God, both, you are spiritually dead. Now, through repentance and coming to God, you can be made alive in Christ. And you can then be given the strength and the power and the understanding to keep the commandments of God, and especially the Sabbath day, to make it the best day of the week. And that's why Church at Home. It's got to start in the home today. The churches of the world professing themselves to be Christian have lost their way. And they are falling like a rock. You want to get caught up in the vortex of that fall? Or do you want God to rescue you out of that? Well, starting to keep the Sabbath is the first step to begin. Now, very key, important verse. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. I want you to think about that. We have the covenant that was already ratified in Exodus 24 when all the people said, all that God has said, we will do. And Moses sprinkled half of the blood on the people and half of it on the book of the law, and that sealed the covenant. Now here is an additional covenant placed alongside, but within the general scope of the covenant that he gave to Israel, a perpetual covenant for the children of Israel. Now let's ask a question. What is the church in the New Testament called? The spiritual Israel of God. So if we are spiritual Israel, are we not under obligation for this perpetual covenant? That means never-ending covenant. That goes through all covenants in the Bible. A perpetual covenant. Do you know whether you really belong to God or not? Do you? The Sabbath is the key. Verse 17. It, Sabbath keeping, is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Now, is forever still going on? Yes. Does that include the New Testament church? Yes. Now, let me give you a little clue, because we'll get to this later on in other video casts at Church at Home. The commandments were never changed. The spiritual application and obedience in keeping those commandments was changed from the letter of the law to the spirit of the law and put it on a higher level. Now, therefore, the Sabbath day becomes a tremendous day. We'll see this in just a little bit. Now, verse 17. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Are we still on the earth? Yes. Do the heavens still exist? Yes. Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle shall in any way pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away. That's what Jesus said. And who was Jesus? Jesus was the one who is the Lord God of the Old Testament that spoke these words to Moses. Think about that for a minute. Now, verse 18. And he gave to Moses, when he had made an end of speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tablets of the testimony, tables of stone written by the finger of God. Now, what were the children of Israel doing while Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights? After all the signs coming out of Egypt, all the miracles that were done, seeing the tremendous display of the power of God when he came down on Mount Sinai to bring the Ten Commandments and talk directly to Moses, what did children of Israel do? They said, well, for this man Moses, we don't know where he is. Maybe he fell in the volcano at the time. Maybe he's dead. He'd been gone 40 days. So they came to Aaron. And they said, Aaron, make us gods. So Aaron said, bring me your gold, your earrings, and Aaron fashioned a golden calf. Wonder what Aaron was doing in Egypt before he came out of the land of Egypt. Was he an idol maker? How did he know how to make the golden calf? And he fashioned it with his own hands. Now, what was the golden calf? Golden calf was a representative of Baal. And Baal was the sun god. And between the horns of the golden calf was a round sun disk. And so, when Aaron got done with that, he said, behold, Israel, the gods who brought you out of Egypt. Right while Moses was on the mountain receiving these things from God. You talk about gall and audacity. Ho, ho. So when Moses was coming down, he heard all this noise because God told him to get down because the people were sinning. And Joshua, who was up there waiting for him to come down from the mountain, apparently Joshua was halfway up, and he heard the noise. Moses came down and saw the people sinned a great sin, for they were having a rock concert, dancing around naked, sexual orgy, right before the presence of God at Mount Sinai. Now, don't people treat the Sabbath day the same way today? Don't they say, Sunday is the day of the Lord? Is that not their golden calf? And so Moses said to Aaron, what is this you have done? Oh, the people. Sound a little bit like Genesis 3? Have you eaten of the fruit I told you not to eat of? Oh, the serpent. Oh, the wife. Oh, the people. You know, they're mischievous. They brought me the gold, I threw it into the fire, and out leaped this golden calf. Voila! Miracle! Isn't that wonderful? So what happened? Moses threw down the tablets of the Ten Commandments and broke them. Then he said, all who are on God's side, get over here. And all who had rebelled, the earth opened up and swallowed them as a lesson that in the presence of God, you do not judge him. You do not do your own thing. You do not commit idolatry. And you do not have the gall and the rebellion to say, these are your gods, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Now you can go back and listen to the video cast that I did on the futility of idolatry. Wasn't that futile? Did they learn the lesson? Did the children of Israel ever really, really, really learn the lesson? No, they didn't. Let's come here to Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Let's see some very interesting things here in the book of Ezekiel. God reiterated what he told them. He said, now, when I brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey, they rebelled against me. Ezekiel 20, verse 7. Then I said to them, let each man throw away the abominations of his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they didn't do it, did they? Now, here's what we're going to understand, and I want you to really let this sink, as Jesus said to his disciples, let this sink deep into your ears. In other words, let this be a penetrating point of understanding the words of God in your life. Breaking the Sabbath day is rebellion against God. Doesn't matter what you feel in your heart. It's what are the facts and the truth. Because remember, as we covered, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Did not what the children of Israel and Aaron do there result in death? And Aaron only survived because of Moses' intervention that God would not kill him. And he was to be high priest. And what did that also symbolize and prophesy by his own behavior? That the priesthood of Aaron would never bring spiritual perfection. Let's read it here, verse 8. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken to me. They did not each man throw away the abominations of their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. And I said, I will pour out my fury against them to fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt, even before they left. So he brought them to Mount Sinai, and he said, I gave them my statutes, I showed them my ordinances, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and you, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. But then the house of Israel rebelled in the wilderness. 18 months after they came out of the land of Egypt, God said, go up into the land. And they decided, well, let's send 12 spies. And they were gone 40 days, examining the land. God didn't want them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. He was going to give them the land as soon as possible. And just think, they could have gone into the land. Moses could have lived many, 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 many years and been stabilized in the land. But no, 10 of the spies came back and said, oh, we can't possibly fight against these people. They're giants. The walls, the cities are high. But Joshua and Caleb said, no, 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 no. With God, we can overcome them. And the people didn't believe, and they wept and cried all night and said, oh, 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 God, why have you done this? They didn't believe God. They didn't have faith. They didn't trust in him. They looked to their own devices rather than the truth. So God said, all right, you're going to be punished. You're going to wander in the wilderness 40 years before you go in to the promised land. A day for every day that the spies spied out the land be one more year. And furthermore, all your children that you accused me of, that I was going to kill, all those 20 and under are going to live and go into the land. Everyone over 20 is going to die, and their bodies are going to be strewn in the wilderness because of their rebellion. Oh, they wept and cried, and they tried to go up and fight and battle, but God wasn't with them. They were driven back, so they wandered for 40 years. God said, nevertheless, I spared them. Then, when the children in the wilderness were ready to go into the promised land, then he said, verse 18, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and my ordinances and do them. And keep my Sabbaths holy, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notice, my Sabbaths, they. How about that? Well, what happened? What happened? They didn't do it. They polluted the Sabbaths of God. They didn't do what was right. Isn't that something? Every generation comes along, and every generation thinks, we're enlightened. We know more. you know, all these nice people over here, these nice idolaters, you know, with their idols and their temples. Well, that's better than what we have over here. And besides, we can't do any work and have any pleasure on the Sabbath day. Yes, they could. They could do the good works of God and have pleasure in God rather than their own. Well, they didn't want to do it. So what happened? Verse 24, because they had not done my ordinances, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols, wherefore I gave them over to their own statutes, which were not good, and to their own ordinances, which they could not live. And I defiled them in their own gifts, in that they caused all that opened the womb to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am the Lord. Now, what is this talking about? Well, true, as most religionists have it, the wrong translation in the King James and other translations, they said, well, the statutes and ordinances of God that he gave were not good. No, they weren't good. No, they were a curse. The Sabbath is a curse. The laws of God are a curse. The Sabbaths of God are for a blessing, to know God, to know that he sanctifies us, so you can have a relationship with God. But because they didn't want to do God's will, he gave them over to statutes and ordinances which were not good, their own. Question. Do we today in the United States of America, because we've rejected God, have statutes and ordinances which are not good? Do we have overbearing and oppressive laws? Yes. Do we not have a society that's given over to wickedness and sin? Yes. Why? Because we have done the same thing as the children of Israel when they got into the promised land. They went after other gods. And today, that is the wonderful thing to do, to go look at other religions and take the good from this religion and the good from that religion, and let's mix it all together and have a new, wonderful Christianity. And they despise God's way. And the early church fathers of the Roman Catholic Church specifically wrote, and the Protestants today still believe it, that God gave the laws as a curse, when God said, I give them as a blessing. Now, you talk about the hostility of a carnal mind. That takes the cake, doesn't it? Notice, out of the book Anti-Judaism and the Origin of Sunday by Samuel Bakayoko, he writes, Justin, one of the early church fathers, one of the saints of the Roman Catholic Church, Justin did not hesitate to designate the Sabbath as a mark of unfaithfulness of the Jews imposed upon them by God to distinguish them and separate them from other nations. How about a big lie? Do you believe that lie? A lot of people do. Now, why do I spend so much time on the Sabbath? Because it's so very important. And let's understand, in the New Testament, we're to worship God in spirit and in truth. Have I just not read you the truth of the Scriptures? Have I just not read you the deceitful lie that most people believe and accept as true? You know, and concerning Roman Catholics, not even all the pedophilia that goes on in a Roman Catholic church will deter them from remaining Catholics. When they should get up and march out of that church, go buy a Bible, go home, study it, repent, and pray to God. No, don't believe that. See, the truth is, the Sabbath day sanctifies us before God. God puts his presence in that day, spiritually. If we are seeking God and His will and His word, seeking to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul and being, called the Sabbath a delight, then the Sabbath will bring understanding to us. It'll draw us close to God. It will help us to love Him and to serve Him and to obey Him in all aspects and to find the true Jesus and to understand the Word of God. Now, those are the choices that God sets before us. So again, I challenge you. You write in for this booklet, Which Day is the True Christian Sabbath, and a Sabbath Sunday controversy you have never read. And prove to yourselves, like we are told in the New Testament, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. I hope you have more understanding concerning the Sabbath day now. But now you need the desire from the innermost part of your being to keep the Sabbath, to keep it holy. And you can keep it holy in your own home. You can shut out the world. You can turn off the television, turn off the radio. You can have your children stop their games on the Sabbath and maybe even have a conversation with them. Maybe even study the Bible together. What a revelation that would be, huh? Why don't you try it? I think you'll like it. Once again, thank you for having me into your home. Remember our other website, cbcg.org, and you can go there and download many sermons and transcripts and articles. We have lots of articles on Church at Home so that you can find the truth of God in these critical days that we are living in now. And so, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.